We're going to pray and ask the Lord to help us. Jesus, we love you. Help us, Lord, to learn from you and to leave here more like you than when we walked in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 103. It says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. And may I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles." Praise you, Lord. The first part of this outline today, as we're looking through this passage, David, who wrote this, is looking at himself. And he's looking at himself and his own reaction to what God has done. The second part of the outline is going to be verse 6 through, I think, 19 or so. Verse 6 on, he begins to talk about everybody, like all of us as people. But he opens up with focusing upon him and what God has done for him. He says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name." Do you see the first person in here? "Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me." Listen, God is good, isn't He? Do you understand that you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus? Right? It's not enough to just come to church. You need to know Jesus. Okay? And when you know Jesus, He fills you with His joy and He fills you with His presence. And prayer becomes a good thing. It becomes talking to your Heavenly Father. But you need to have a personal relationship with the Lord. You know, it's a crime, but years ago, people would think that going to church was just enough. And they would think, well, my family goes to that church, and my family gave a lot to that church, and my great-great-granddaddy helped build that church. So sure, I'm a Christian, because my family has history here. That doesn't make you a Christian. Do you see, going to church or being affiliated with a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in the garage makes you a car, right? You could sit in the garage, you could pull out the chair, you can even make vroom vroom noises. Vroom vroom vroom, right? Can anybody make a good one? Vroom vroom. You're all too uptight. Vroom vroom, right? Kids are in the back. Tell me you guys don't make noises. Get out of here. But you could sit in your garage and you can make noises and it doesn't make you a car. And going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Now, if you have a garage, should you put your car in a garage? Sure, a garage is a good place for a car, right? Keeps us safe from the birds and everything else. In the same way, a Christian should go to church. It's good for you. You need to. And I would say the Lord commands it. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, the writer of Hebrews says. We need to go to church. We need to be encouraged. But you know what? You need to do more than just show up. You need to love Jesus. Do you know that? And Jesus is good. David opens up with exclaiming how good the Lord is in every area of his life. He says, you know, let all that I am praise the Lord. The Bible tells us we should love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. Okay? So let's break this down a little bit. With all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. For heart, love the Lord with all your heart. There was a church in Revelation who got it wrong. And they were doing a lot of good stuff for the Lord. It's funny, they were working good for Jesus. They were doing a lot of good stuff. And Jesus says, "I have this against you. You lost your first love. You don't love me anymore. All the stuff that you do has become more important than the person of Jesus." So you have to be careful. There's a lot of Christians and a lot of churches that focus on just like feeding the hungry, right? Is feeding the hungry important? Absolutely. But it's not the number one thing. Because you can feed people food and they still go to hell. Right? Jesus told us to do good works, and we need to do that. We need to reach out and we need to help. In fact, there's going to be an opportunity coming up soon that I'm going to share where we have an opportunity as a church to bless someone in need. But that isn't the thing that makes us right with God. See, we don't bless to get right with God because we're right with God. Because Jesus has forgiven us, then in that overflow, abundance of His grace, we pour out and help others. Do you see that? We do good works because God has saved us. We don't do good works to get saved. We do it because it's already happened. So what David is doing, he's opening up saying, God, with everything that I have, I'm going to praise You with all of my heart. Jesus said this. Here's Jesus' words paraphrased on the test of what you love. Ready? He says, do this. And your wallet will tell you what you love. I keep receipts in my wallet because I keep my checkbook, you know, really good. Because you have to, especially if you don't have any money, right? Then you really have to watch it. But you really should watch it anyway. But here's a Tractor Supply receipt, right? I love that store. The store is awesome. Walmart receipt, hate that store. I love the Tractor store. But when you look and you say, what did I do with my money? Jesus says, for where your treasure is, where you spend your money is where your heart is. Right? Right? Are we there? So you need to think about that when it comes to what do you treasure? We love the Lord with all of our heart. You know, when we give... when we give Comcast more money a year than we give to Jesus in missions, it says we love TV more than we love the Lord, perhaps. Am I right? Now, I understand there's bills and things we need to pay, but you can look at some things and say, you know what? This is more of a luxury, and if I'm spending that money and giving more to Marlboro than I am Jesus, you have to be careful. Am I right? Okay? And it's not just Comcast. For some people, it's their fishing boat. And they give more money to fishing than Jesus, or hopefully it's women, but if it's men, we're talking to you, but sometimes not with fishing, but with this next thing, with romance novels. I hope it's not dudes buying romance novels, because we got a problem. But if women are buying romance novels more than they're giving to Jesus, I mean, don't you see something wrong? When you look at where you spend your money, particularly money that you just have, is it about you or is it about the Lord? Jesus says your heart follows your treasure. And here's how this goes, okay? Jesus says your heart follows your treasure. So if you were to give to like the church, and I'm not saying this because we need you to give to the church. I'm just saying because this is where we're at. This is what we're talking about today. Although giving to the church is good. But if you give to the church, you'll find that you'll care more about the church. Because you're invested in the church. Does that make sense? You care about what you're invested in. You know how many times people have been given a free house to live in? And they run it down and they destroy it. But if they're given a house that they can pay, and they have the privilege of paying for, even if it's a low rate, something they can afford, they take care of the house because they're invested in the house, right? Have you heard those stories? If you give somebody something, a lot of times they just destroy it. They don't take care of it because they don't appreciate it. But if they worked for it and they invest their hard-earned money in it, their heart follows. And then they care about their house. Or they care about their car. Or they care about the gift that you've given them. Right? Have you seen that as parents? If you buy your kid a bike, they'll leave it in the rain. If they earn the money for the bike, they're going to take care of it and they're going to put it in their bedroom. Right? And in the same way, if we care about the Lord, we're going to give to the Lord. And if you don't, I want to encourage you to pray and say, God, help me to figure out what we're supposed to do. Right? What we're supposed to do to help give to the Lord. The Lord says, give a tithe. Give 10% to the Lord. We need to do that. And here's what it is. It's not about you have to give to the church so the church is richer. That's not it. Although the truth is, if the church doesn't have income, the church won't be here eventually, right? Right? Okay? Because it costs a lot of money. It'd blow your mind when you see how much money that churches pay for insurance. Please don't fall on your way out. But our insurance bill is crazy. Right? It's just, you just write the check and send it. So give. I'm just saying, give. And if you don't, you're going to miss out on what God wants to do in your life. Because the Lord says this in Malachi, if you give, He's going to bless you, and you're going to end up with more than you started with. Do you understand? And it's not about getting more money, it's about allowing God to have more of your heart, okay? And if you're new here, we don't talk about money a lot, so we're just going to take a minute, because we don't do this all the time. But when you give, and you trust the Lord and you give what He says to give, He will bless you and meet your every need. Okay? Not your every want, but your every need. And you'll find that what you end up with is more than what you started with. Right? And see, here's the deal. It's a biblical principle. When we trust God, and the Lord knows it's hard. Because in Malachi, He says, test me. Try me. Because I think that's the Lord's heart saying, I know this doesn't make sense, but if you trust me and try me, you will see that I will bless you and I will meet your every need. And what happens is when you're giving, okay, it changes your heart. Please hear me. I'm not saying this so I can guilt you into giving more money. I'm saying this because once you give, God gets more of your heart. And then you get excited seeing, first of all, you've invested in the church, so it's exciting to see what God's doing. Number two, you're excited because God is blessing you in your own life. Right? You'll go to the store and catch an awesome sale on something that you weren't expecting, and you get what you needed to get for a whole lot less. Right? That's one way the Lord blesses. He's done that to me. Years ago now, but I needed a video camera. Wanted it for our home, but we used it for the youth ministry as well when I was youth pastor. It was a $1,000 video camera. Remember, they were expensive, right? VHS-C. Now it's huge and antiquated. But it was like $999. I walked into Sears in King of Prussia. It was sitting by the door, $135. It's like, what's wrong with this? Somebody bought it, used it on their honeymoon, actually left the pictures in the thing. They were fine, but I know where you're going. But they left their pictures on a digital card of them like standing at the beach smiling. But they bought it for their honeymoon and they just took it back. So I saved like $800. And the Lord provided and it was a blessing. And we took that thing on all kinds of youth trips and stuff. Kyle remembers a big old clunky camera. It was cool. But God provided. And you know what? Then it's exciting. Because then you're living for Jesus, then you're giving to Jesus, and then you're like, this stuff really works. Jesus really blesses me. Then I think we say with David, let all that I am praise the Lord. Amen. And when we hoard what we have and we don't give it to the Lord because we don't trust Him, then you're going to miss that. Then that area in your heart of praising God, you're just not going to get the blessing of being able to see that God provided. Right? Does that make sense? How many of you can say that in your life you've given to the Lord and it didn't make sense and it didn't make sense in your checkbook? Okay? But you did what was right. Now, I'm not saying listen to some evangelist who's lying to you and saying give $10,000 and take your credit card. Do not charge an offering to the Lord. Never. Change the channel. Watch old episodes of the A-Team. They're probably more spiritual. And B.A. was a bad dude back in the day. Right? But when we do what's right, then it's exciting to see God working in us and through us. Does that make sense? It says, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. With all your soul. Here's my thought here. Make sure your spiritual nourishment comes from God. Okay? Make sure it comes from the Lord. Once you begin looking for other things to nourish you spiritually, okay, you're going to be missing on the heartbeat of God. What are some other things that can attract us to nourish us? Self-help books. Be careful. Oprah Winfrey. Be careful. She doesn't love Jesus. I know recently she said she did. Well, you can YouTube some really good clips where she denies Jesus. And I haven't heard her address those yet. I hope she comes to know Jesus, though, because that would be very cool. But be careful. A lot of spirituality without Jesus. If you have spirituality and you pull Jesus out of the equation, it's demonic. Right? It's demonic because we go to heaven or hell. And if it's not taking you to heaven, it's taking you to hell. Right? It's demonic. What are some other spiritual things? You know, a lot of Near Eastern meditation, yoga can be, right? What's that? Yeah, idolizing objects, right? Well, like the yoga stuff, is the stretching your body bad? No, that's not bad. And maybe I could probably use some good back stretching because I'm stiff like a board. You know, I'm not going to do any of those things because I'd break in half. But when you get into not just the flexing and exercises, but you get into the meditation part of it, it becomes spiritual. You're looking for inner peace that doesn't come from the Messiah. Do you see that? Do you see where that's evil? When you're getting your spiritual nourishment from something else other than Jesus, it's a problem. With idols in your life, it's a problem. How about this? With drinking. How many people are stressed out from work and they need a drink? Or they need a smoke? Or they need to get high? Or they need, you know, to go and indulge in sexual sin? Because they're stressed out, right? See, you're looking for something that's going to fill the need within your heart. You need Jesus. Do you see that? Does that make sense to everybody? Because I want to move on, but if you nod your head, it helps me preach faster. Are we there? If not, I think, oh, we got to go through it again. Okay, so that's a little secret. You go, oh yeah, Pastor, we even got it before you said it, right? But be careful. Because if something gives you joy and peace and it's not Jesus, you're in trouble. Now, if you're married, your spouse can give you joy and peace. That's a good thing. And your kids can give you joy. They usually don't give you peace. But you can have fun with your kids and take joy. But your wife is, or your husband's a gift from the Lord. And your children are gifts from the Lord. When you're meditating or you're drinking or you're smoking or you're doing other things that, or you're watching inappropriate stuff on TV or whatever that road is, this thing that gives you completion. Be careful. And sometimes it can be a good thing, but you've elevated it to a God thing and it becomes idolatry. Love the Lord with all your soul. That when you're stressed, I need Jesus. And when you're hurting, I need Jesus. And when you're happy, I just need to get together with Jesus and tell Him how happy I am. Does that make sense? Love Him all our heart, all our soul, all of our mind. Okay? What do you think about? What do you think about? Do you fill your mind with bad things that you wouldn't want Jesus to see you thinking about? Or do we spend our time thinking about the Lord? Right? Does that make sense? What do you think? Or maybe it's not the Lord, but maybe you're thinking about good things, like your job, right? We have some electricians in the church. You don't have to sit there and think about Jesus in the midst of wiring something. I want you to pay attention to what you're doing, but your thoughts should not be on sin. And then you connect the wire right and say, thank you, Jesus, right? Do you understand? Heart, soul, mind. Strength. What do you do physically for the Lord? God gives you physical energy. Do you do things that are pleasing for the Lord? Like if you're able, help at the church? Or do things that... You know some things that help please the Lord? It's not just helping at the church. Although that's good. And painting at the church, yes. But it's also maybe go outside and play catch with your boy. is something that would please the Lord and be a good father and get off your tush, right? Or maybe it's go for a walk with your spouse at the end of the night, right? Or maybe it's get in the car and go visit somebody. Physically, just not doing anything is not going to be pleasing to the Lord. He's given you muscles and He's given you health and oxygen. Everybody breathe. Okay, oxygen comes in, it rejuvenates your red blood cells or whatever. I'm not a doctor, but you end up with energy and you can do something for the Lord, and we should love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's when David says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord." He's not just sitting down getting fat. He's like, I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to think about the Lord, and my mind's going to give Him glory, and my physical body's going to give Him glory, and my spirit within me, my soul doesn't turn to anything else, but it looks to Jesus, and it praises Jesus, and I'm going to focus on Jesus. Does that make sense? Right? Are we there? Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He's done. Listen. Remember what God has done for you, right? Right? Are we there? Guys, we're on verse 2. I want to get done. Are we there?
Yes.
All right. Amen. Never forget what God's done. Sometimes you need to tell the stories, don't you? Do you realize that when you're down and out and things seem dark, sometimes the things that you need to do is remind yourself what God has done. Right? That's why David's saying, "May I never forget." He's worshiping God, saying, "God, with whatever obstacle I come to, may I never forget that You're the one who brought me through it last time. And I can trust You for next time." I heard a great speaker Friday night at a rally we went to at Chestnut. The guy said this. He says, "If the Lord gets you to it, He can get you through it."
Amen.
That's good. If He can get you to it, to the problem, He can get you through it on the other side. See, David says, "May I never forget." Some of you who you begin to question, I want you to remember that God has not forgotten you and He will get you through whatever it is you're facing. Am I right? Right? Are we there? So what you need to do is write down some of your testimonies or stories or when you know God was with you and say, "I know God did this. I know God did this." Even if it wasn't this morning, even if it was 2 years ago, you could say, "I know God did this." Write it down so when you're discouraged, look at it. See, David knows there's strength in remembering what God has done. What did God do in David's life? He says, "He forgives all my sins." How many of you have experienced the saving power of Christ? That Jesus has forgiven you of your sins? Can I see your hand? And He forgives how many sins? I love the word "all." Do you know what this means in the original Hebrew? All! That's what it means. It means all! Right? That was a joke. Wow. All! All of your... So are there any sins that God didn't forgive? All. How about the ones that you beat yourself up for? How about the ones that your in-laws don't forgive you for and never will forgive you? Right? God forgives all sin. And to that, David's like, "I'm praising the Lord." Because David looks at his life and he had a lot of sins. He killed a man. Because he slept with a man's wife and got her pregnant. Ooh, soap opera stuff, right? He slept with a man's wife when he was serving in the military. Got her pregnant. Oops. To cover it up, he gets the guy to come back from the military. "Hey, buddy, you get the time off. You might want to go home, hang out with your wife." Hoping the man would just think it's his kid. And the man was too honorable, way more honorable than David, and said, "My men are serving on the battlefield. I'm not going to go home and enjoy my wife till my brothers are back home. They're not with their wives. I'm not going home with my wife." So then David killed him. But God knew, didn't He? And God cornered him. And David, a broken man, comes to the Lord. Finds forgiveness. And I think when he says, "He forgives all my sins," to David that meant something. See, you can say that quickly, and it could just be impersonal and not matter. to David, this was about my sin. Right? Think, what has Jesus forgiven you of? What has He forgiven you of? What shame has He taken away? When you think of your sin that you had and Jesus washed it away, you can praise Him. Right? Does that make sense? He heals all my diseases. How many have seen the Lord bring healing in your life or the life of another person? Can I see your hand that you prayed a little higher, right? Let's give God praise, okay? You've seen God heal. He forgives all of our sins and He heals all of our diseases. But Pastor, it says He heals all my diseases and Aunt so-and-so died. So Pastor, explain all if so-and-so died. If maybe you prayed for cancer and that person died. Here's how this works out. God heals all diseases. God's biggest goal for us is what? Heaven. God heals all of our diseases. Sometimes He heals here. Often He heals here. But He always heals everyone. Everybody is healed in heaven. Do you see that? No one will be in heaven with a limp or with cancer. Or heart disease, right? If God healed us here all the time, we would never get to go to heaven. And you could pay taxes eternally. Isn't heaven better? I mean, South Jersey is nice, but heaven's better. I love Jersey tomatoes. Every time I go outside, my little flower pot is there, and there's like... There's little flowers now, but there's no tomatoes. In heaven, there'll always be tomatoes, and they'll even be better. Heaven is the place we want to go. If you're suffering the loss of someone tender and dear to you, and you wonder, Lord, why didn't You heal them? Maybe He did. And maybe you just didn't see. And if your loved ones died in Christ, they're in heaven. And they are fine, and they are better, and they're not coming back because who in the world would want to? Heaven is so much better. But the Lord brings healing. Now, I believe in heaven healing, but we also pray and we believe God heals here. And until Jesus takes us home, we believe He has the power to heal. We believe He does. And we've seen people with cancer healed, right, in our church. We've seen God heal. God does heal. Sometimes it's here. It's always in heaven. Moving forward. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. Redeems you from death. You know you don't have to fear death when you're a Christian? Right? Right? You don't have to fear death. Why? Because Jesus conquered death. Isn't that awesome? Do you know, for me, doing the funeral for a Christian is a lot easier than someone who's not a Christian? You know how horrible it is to stand there and do funerals? And I've done, a lot of funerals for people who weren't Christians. Because primarily, when I get a phone call from the funeral home and they need a pastor, it's because they never went to church. They don't know the Lord. So I'll go and help. It's a lot harder. Because they've rejected Christ. That's just the air conditioner kicking on. You're not going to get electrocuted. So don't worry about it. Everybody's like, oh, that's good. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Then maybe if you thought you were dying now, I might have preached better for the end of the message. He redeems me from death. It is so good to know, listen, that I'm going to go to heaven. It's so good for me to know, as a husband, that my wife, if God forbid something happened to her, she would go to heaven. Do you hear me? And it's so comforting for me to know that my child will go to heaven if God forbid something happens. And if you're here and if you've lost children, they're in heaven waiting for you. A lot of people have lost young babies. And they're in heaven waiting. Miscarriages. Those children are in heaven waiting for you. Trust Jesus. He redeems you from death. And you will stand before Him in life everlasting. If you've asked Jesus to forgive you, then all of your sins are forgotten and you get to stand in His presence. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Don't worry, we're just about done, okay? People are like, oh my gosh, Pastor, longest message ever. It's good. He crowns me with love and tender mercies. Jesus loves you. Do you know that? He loves you. He fills my life with good things, the passage says. Verse 5, God loves you and has blessed you, and everything that you have in your life, every good and perfect gift, James says, comes from the Father in heaven. What has God given you? Be careful, even if you work hard. Should you work hard? Yeah. Should you ignore your family and work hard? No. But you should work hard. Figure out your time. Love your kids. Play with your kids. Talk with your wife. Spend time with your wife. Right? Work hard. Help support your family. Bring in income. Very important. But in the midst of it, remember who's the provider. It's not you. It's Him. Do you know that? That He's given you the energy and everything He's given you comes from Him. See, that's when we talked about giving earlier. That's when it makes sense because God gives you everything. And then you're like, oh, you only want this back? And I get to use the rest? God has blessed me. But when you think you own it and you think it all comes from you, you don't worship Him and you hoard. And you think every good gift, every good thing that comes to you is from you. And then you can become an idolater and not love the Lord. Always remember it's God, right? Who gives you a beautiful day outside? The Lord. If you build a new deck on your house and you work hard and buy every board and you nail every nail, who gave you the deck? The Lord. He still gave you the strength, still gave you the know-how. Does that make sense? My youth is renewed like the eagles. Does this pertain to the Philadelphia Eagles? I guess they're getting younger. in their defense. My youth is renewed like... Here's the picture. The picture is with the Lord and with His Spirit empowering you, you can soar over any valley that's in your life. It doesn't mean that you won't have problems, but God will give you the strength to get through and to endure whatever it is He's brought you to. Does that make sense? Right? Cling to the Lord. So in that, listen, the Lord is good, isn't He? And for all of those things we talked about, we're going to stop there. Okay? With going through the passage, unless anybody wants to go till 2. Anybody good till 2 o'clock? Yeah? If it's God's will. Nah, this is good. I was just joking. I think this is where the Lord... My jokes stink. I'm sorry. This is where I think we're going to pause down. But you know what I want to do? I want to reflect on God. And I want to actually do what we're talking about. Can we do that? David just gave us a bunch of things to talk about praising God for. How many in your life you would say, I have something to praise God for? Can I see your hand? Right? God is good, isn't He? What I want us to do, let's grab our Bibles if you didn't close them yet. If you did, you can open them back up. That's fine. You don't mind. Let's read through the first five verses with David. And let's make these words our words. Okay? Can we do that? Let's make these words our words. Listen. Friday night we had a great service. For those of you who came, you got to go. I thought it was just a powerful speaker that we heard. Here's the gist of what it means, I think, to be a Christian or or to even be a Pentecostal Christian. A Pentecostal Christian is one who believes that you can't do it on your own. And you need the Holy Spirit of God to help you in everything you do. And also, a Pentecostal Christian is one who prays, right? And you seek God and you seek His presence. You're not going to do that if you don't love the Lord, right? If you don't worship Jesus, you're not going to care. You're not going to pray. And when it comes to God's gifts in His church and spiritual gifts and stuff, you're going to say, that's not for me. I'm good. I don't need any of that because I'm fine. And I think a big barrier to people is you don't love Jesus enough. And I don't know if that's you or not. I'm not talking about you. Maybe I am. I don't know. That's not me. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you and you feel, yeah, I love God, but in this area, I don't know if I love Him as much as I need to. That's God speaking to you. Right? That's the Lord saying, you need to tweak this. Because I'm not good enough to do that. There's no preacher good enough to do that. That's you and the Lord. And I pray that today you would come to the place and say, you know what, God? In reading the words in David, I want to praise you with everything that I have. Lord, and everything is about you and none of it is about me. And with all that I am, all of my mind, all of my body, all of my soul, and all of my spirit, God, it goes to you. And I'll worship you with all my heart. And I think if that's your heart, you're in the perfect place to be. Does that make sense? That you're lining yourself up to wait in the presence of the Lord. Then we could say, God, you are so good, I'm not. You are so holy, I'm not. You are so powerful and I'm not. I need you, I love you. I need your Spirit to live this life. Fill me and use me. Right? And if there's junk in your life that shouldn't be there, say, God, show me the stuff I need to get rid of. If there's sin, God, get rid of this sin. God, help me to love you more. Help me to talk to you more. Help me to care more about your word. So many times I think we fall on the, maybe we care, but our actions don't always line up, right? I think a lot of times we care, but if somebody looked at our life, they wouldn't see that from the evidence that we care. I think a lot of people love their spouses, but I think if you look at their life, they don't show any evidence of that. We need to be people who say, God, I don't just want to say the words. I want to submit myself to you. And some of you, you might be somebody who in your heart you submit, but you don't say the words. Do you see what I mean? Some of you, you could be a good giver, but you don't love God with your heart, really. Or maybe you give, but you don't serve. Do you see where I am today? Right? Wherever that is, let's fully submit to the Lord. Let's read verse 1 through 5. Then we're going to pray. Okay? Why don't you stand together? We're going to read these five verses, and then I'm going to go ahead and pray for you. How many here today, in terms of our prayer, that you would say, I want to love Jesus more? Can I see your hands today? Right. This is what we're going to do. We're going to read verse 1 through 5. As we read, please focus on the words and please make them your heart. This was one man worshiping God. And we want to follow Scripture. We want to align ourselves up with the words of David. And then I'm going to pray for you that the Lord would help you to love Him more. And as we pray, listen, this is what I want you to do, okay? As we pray, I want you to pray, okay? Don't just listen to the pastor's prayer. To be honest, I love the Lord. God's called me to pastor, but I'm a man like you. I'm not Jesus. You don't need your pastor's blessing. You need the blessing of Jesus. And I want to pray for you, but I want you just to talk to Jesus. And get through this and confess your sins to Him. Okay? And open up your hearts to Him. Some of you, you might want to kneel. Some of you might want to lift up your hands and worship. Listen, whatever that is, focus on Jesus. Can we do that? So we're going to read the five. I'm going to pray and you pray. And we'll talk to the Lord. And may this place, my goal is this room, would be a house of worship. And that this place would be filled with people calling out to the living God. If there's sin, this is when you repent and confess of that sin. If everything's fine with you, this is when you just express your love to the Lord. If there's a need, worship Jesus and tell Him your need.
Let's read together. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's pray. Jesus, we love You, God, today. We worship You, Lord. Let's fill this place with our prayers to God today. Jesus, we love You, Lord. Today we declare, God, that we want to worship You with everything that we have. Lord, we want to focus our attention on You. We want to lift up our hearts to You, God. We want to give all of our sin to You and all of our cares and worries to You because You care for us and You love us, God. We focus on You today and we glorify You and we thank You for all that You've done. Lord, this room is filled with people who You've saved from car accidents. And You've saved from other things in their life that should have killed them. And You've saved them and brought them to this point today. And we thank You and we praise You. Lord, there's those in this room who You've provided for in miraculous ways that they would have never thought where they are today would be possible. And yet You've done that. And You've given people families who never had a family. And life who never had life. And hope who never had hope. And we thank You for that today, Jesus. And we pray, Lord God, that we would love You. That we would be people who worship You with all that we are, Lord. May we never forget You. With all of our heart and all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, we give You praise. And we glorify You because You are so good. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Lord. And even more importantly than now, I pray that as we leave this place, we would still be worshiping You. And I pray that as we put our heads on our pillows tonight, we would thank You for what You've done. And I pray that Tuesday afternoon, we would still have hearts to worship You. And Thursday morning, we would still love You. And Friday night, we would still be glorifying You, God. That we would give You everything. Because You deserve no less. And You will receive no less. Today, we make You our first love. And where we have failed You, we confess that sin. And we repent today. Today we declare, Lord, with Your strength and with Your help, we're going to turn around and walk away from our sin and walk away from ourself and towards You. And Lord, I pray right now that You would fill Your church, this church, with Your Spirit, God. Lord, that You would give us a hunger for You and a presence for You. And give us the realization that we can do nothing on our own. But You can do all things, God. And we want to please You. And we want You to work in us and through us to change the world. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.